us pray. God, we confront powerful forces of entropy in this world, at home, at our works, in our relationships, in our finances, in our health, in our spiritual and emotional lives. God, how should we respond? Speak, Lord, for your servants need your wisdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. A couple of weeks ago, when allergy season started kicking in, I went to our middle hallway closet to this catch-all box of medicine looking for some Zyrtec. And when I got there, I was overwhelmed. I mean, this closet is stuffed full. I mean, you know how it is, right? I mean, in this closet are coats and towels. It's where we keep our extra paper goods. There's household cleaning products. Let me put it this way. It's a good thing I came out of the closet a few years ago because there was no room for me in there. When I opened that door, the vacuum cleaner popped out, the Swiffer mop slid to the side. So I started going through the box of old medicine, unused aspirin, this and that. Everything was a mess, and even though I searched and I struggled through that chaos, I couldn't find anything that would help. I guess I'll go buy a fourth bottle, because I'm sure we have at least three now somewhere in the house. All of our homes have places like that closet, little pockets of chaos. In your home, where do you store your chaos? Confession is good for the soul, so let me know. Where do you store your chaos in your home?
Downstairs.
Downstairs, okay.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. That's honest. Sometimes it's a garage. I saw a poster the other day. It says, you can best describe my housekeeping as there appears to have been a struggle. What's true of our homes is equally true of our personal lives. Little pockets of chaos, maybe big pockets of chaos. It cannot be avoided. Chaos is part and parcel of the reality in which we find ourselves. So much so that we know the science of this. It's called entropy. Entropy is like Murphy's Law applied to the universe. Put simply, entropy is a measure of disorder. The second law of thermodynamics states that all closed systems have an ever-increasing tendency towards entropy, towards disorder. Everywhere we look around us, we see this principle at work. Things are pulling apart. Things have a natural tendency of moving from order to chaos. So how should we as people of faith respond to that chaos? That's the question we're going to wrestle with today as we begin a new sermon series that will take us through the summer exploring the book of Genesis. Today, we're going to learn how to conquer chaos. So today, I want us to learn two important Hebrew words so that you can use them when you need a reminder of what we're going to talk about today. These two words are pronounced tohu wabohu. Say it with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Tohu wabohu. Again, tohu wabohu. Hold these words in your mind. Google them if you want to go deeper with what they mean. Today, we're going to focus on the biblical creation story. And you know, lots of Christians like to debate this story, trying to figure out the exact timing with which God created the cosmos. Some Christians believe that God created rapidly, taking a literal seven-day period to create. Other Christians believe that the Genesis creation account represents periods of time by which God created through evolution. There are folks on both sides of that debate in our parish, and that's okay. Imagine a church where everyone doesn't have to think alike. Nor do we have to resolve that debate in order to learn something really powerful, practical, and important from the biblical creation story. Embedded in the creation story is powerful, practical wisdom for everyday living. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was, and here are those two Hebrew words, tohu wabohu, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Tohu means a wasteland, a place of chaos and formlessness. Bohu means nothingness, emptiness. So earth at this point is in a state of primordial chaos. Everything was a mess. I read a story the other day by Shawnee Brown, who lives in Warsaw, Indiana, and she was talking in this story about her little boy, and she was saying that she often reminds him of the great and wonderful things that God has done in creation. She says, I'll ask him a question like, who made the sun? God did. Who makes it rain? God does. One afternoon, she says, I walked into his room and there were toys everywhere. It was an absolute mess. It upset her. She said, who made this mess? And without skipping a beat, he said, God did. So I guess you could say that God made the mess that was planet Earth when it was in its state of primordial chaos. But God did not want it to stay that way. We know that because the text goes on to tell us about how God felt about this primordial chaos. Verse 2 says that the Spirit of God rakaf over the water. It's the Hebrew word. The word rakaf is the Hebrew word for to brood, which means to think deeply about something that makes you unhappy. So God was not altogether pleased with the state of chaos at planet Earth at that time, and thus God set into motion the process of creation, turning the chaos into beautiful order. First, God creates the light. Then God separates the light from the darkness. Then God separates the dry land from the waters and the waters on the earth from the waters that are floating in the sky, step by step, taking this chaos and turning it into the incredible beauty that we see in our natural world. And then God creates us in God's image and decides to leave us in charge to carry forward God's work on earth. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over every creeping thing." Dominion there, of course, means control, responsibility for. Let them have responsibility over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created humankind in God's image, leaving us in charge to carry forward God's work here on earth. That's the gist of the biblical creation story. But what does that have to do with the personal chaos we often feel in our lives? I think if you look carefully at the Genesis creation story, you will find embedded in it beautiful, insightful wisdom for how we should respond to the chaos in our lives. As beings created in the image of God, we intuitively share God's brooding unhappiness when we encounter chaos in our lives. And when that happens, we can respond to the chaos in the same way that God did. This is a basic principle of discipleship. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. You know, when I was a little boy, I wanted to be just like my dad. I thought he was so cool. I wanted to act like him. I wanted to dress like him. So that's what I did. There are pictures of me wearing a white t-shirt in jeans with a candy cigarette in my mouth, sitting on my dad's motorcycle with him. I was a little chip off the old block, just trying to be like him. We, all of us, are spiritually chips off the old block, children of the living God. created in God's image. We are put together in such a way that we can do what God did when we face chaos. The next time you find yourself facing a chaotic situation in your life, think to yourself, wait a minute here. I know what this is. This is an opportunity for me to create. I've been put here on earth to partner with God to beat back earth's overwhelming entropy. So where are you facing chaos in your personal life right now? Where are you right now finding yourself in a cluttered mess like I did in my closet? That overwhelming sense of stuckness in life. For some of us, it may be in our own personal finances that we feel overwhelmed. For some of us, it may be a relationship in our life that is just a complete mess. For some of us, it may be our house that's falling apart and getting away from us. For some of us, it may be our personal spiritual life that just feels like it has this endless amount of entropy. Some area that bit by bit feels like it's moving from order to disorder. Whenever you get that overwhelming feeling of chaos and stuckness in life, I want you to stop. And I want you to say to yourself, I know what's happening here. Tohu wabohu. Stop and remind yourself, I know what this is. This is my own little creation story challenge. This is my chance to be tested, my opportunity to be a co-creator with God by being like my maker, by doing what my maker did. Chips off the old block, doing what we see God doing. So let's talk about it specifically. What is it that God did in the creation story that we can repeat in our lives when those times come, when those times come where we encounter chaos? Notice the first thing that God does in the creation story. Genesis 1:4, God separated the light from the darkness. In the same vein, verse 9, God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let dry land appear." So do you see what's happening there? God began to beat back the chaos of planet Earth by establishing boundaries in creation. We should learn from that, friends. Whenever we face chaos in our personal life, it's almost always a sign that we need to establish some new, healthy boundaries in our life, just like God did at the dawn of creation. I asked my friend Will if I could mention his story to you, and he was fine with that. I met Will as a chaplain when I worked at IU Health as a chaplain myself, and at that time, he had a heart condition. Years ago, his doctor told him that he had way too much weight on him, which was exacerbating his heart condition. One doctor even told him, "Will, either lose weight or you're going to die. That'll get your attention." You see, excess weight was creating chaos in Will's life, to the point, Will said, that he was stopping activities outside of his house. He says, "I would get up in the morning and I would take down with me from my upstairs bedroom everything I would need for the day because it was going to be too much effort to go up and back down those stairs." He has children he dearly loves, and he was unable to do as much with them as he wanted to do. He would try to go hiking with them at Turkey Run State Park, and what he told me one episode there, he felt like he was just going to die on a trail. That woke him up. Excess weight in his life was creating chaos. So being a chip off the old block, being a child of God, Will knew what he was going to have to do. He was going to have to establish some healthy new boundaries in his life. By the way, he will also tell you that he had to reflect long and hard on why he was relating to food the way he was. But that's a different story for another time. Because even with that self-awareness that he gained, that wasn't enough to fix things. So he did two key things. First, he started Weight Watchers. You're familiar with that system, I'm sure. It's a point system. You have to be faithful, though, to it for it to work. And for the past several years, Will has religiously been following that program. And number two, he decided to set some specific goals to increase activity in his life, how many steps he was going to take during the day. And at first, this was really difficult. You know, there's a lot of entropy in the closed systems of our lives that can keep us stuck where we are. But the key to being free in life is having the ability to set healthy boundaries and then the ability also to live into that. We're not free people unless we can set healthy boundaries. And so Will forced himself to walk, to go up and down stairs, and eventually to go to the gym. And Will told me, something he said to me the other day on Facebook, he forced himself to go to the gym even if it was late at night after he got off work. I can't say I'm quite there yet. And through these areas of boundary setting over the past 3 years, he's lost over 90 pounds. And he's loving life again. His life is so much more beautiful now than it was before. He's able to get out and do what he wants to again. He's able to keep up with his kids. Will didn't want that chaos in his life anymore. And so he set those healthy boundaries, and he doesn't have to live with that chaos anymore. First key point when we're facing chaos in our life, it's a clue to us that we need to establish some healthy boundaries. And then practice keeping those boundaries. And if we do that, eventually that practice is going to lead us naturally to the second great step that God took in the creation process. Genesis 1:14. Now this is around the third or fourth day of creation. God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night." And now this next phrase is critical here. "And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." So God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. You see what's happening here. God was establishing rhythms in the cosmos. Think about it. Every day has 24 hours. We didn't invent that. It's based on the rotation of the earth. We didn't invent the concept of months. That's established through the lunar cycles, 12 in a year. We didn't invent the length of a year, which is established by 365 days, give or take, the time it takes the earth to rotate around the sun. We didn't invent the seasons. Those are ordered by our position in space. For life to thrive on planet Earth, this planet had to have a whole system of healthy rhythms, healthy habits, if you will. Imagine if God got up one morning and said, "You know, I think today is going to be a 12-hour day." And suppose God gets up the next day and says, "Today is going to be about 45 hours long." That would be chaos. We couldn't live under such conditions. Or what if God says, "You know, I'm bored today. I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to mix up the order of the seasons. Let's do summer and then winter and then spring and then fall." Life would descend into chaos. It would be impossible. And we can learn from this. Just like physical creation needs healthy habits, we need the same. So when we confront chaos in our lives, we establish healthy boundaries, we practice those healthy boundaries enough so that they become healthy habits in our life, so that we get to the point where much of our life is happening intuitively. When we encounter difficult life situations, we've already learned a healthy way, intuitively responding to that situation, so that these habits have become a beautiful architecture that guides and contains our lives. Let me give you an example. Suppose I'm someone who struggles with explosive anger. Things happen and I just respond intuitively. I lash out at the people around me. Sometimes that's how some of us are. Somebody does something that upsets us and our tendency is to erupt in anger. And that only makes the chaos worse. So if we don't want chaos in our lives, and if we're struggling with anger, what do? We step back and we say, "I need to practice some healthy boundaries. I need to respond to the volatile situations with reflective anger. I'm going to go home. I'm going to reflect on this and then respond to the situation in a way that creates life and creates beauty. And if I do that enough times, before long, it becomes a habit. It becomes my instinctive go-to way of responding to volatile situations in my life. And all of a sudden, I'm routinely cutting off chaos in my life instead of making situations worse by how I respond in anger. We take a situation full of chaos and turn it into something beautiful. It's what the editor of the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson, calls a long obedience in the same direction. In other words, when we repeat a certain healthy boundary in our life over and over again, it becomes so ingrained in our lives that we are regularly cutting off chaos at its knees in our life, taking what could have been a destructive situation and turning it into something beautiful. And friends, that is what we have been put here to do, children of the living God. We carry forward God's work of taking chaos and turning it into beauty. It's what we have been made for. The way we create beauty in our lives is the same way God did at the dawn of creation. Healthy boundaries that are practiced until they become healthy rhythms and habits. But I need to say this in a sermon like this. Even when we get all those right, we still haven't talked about where we're going to find the strength to do it. Because that's where the rub comes in, right? We find ourselves in situations where we're trying to develop more healthy habits in our life, and yet we still struggle to do that. Where do we find the strength to follow the wisdom of this creation story? The authors of Scripture tell us that the same Spirit of God that brooded over the primordial chaos of planet Earth, that same Spirit that transformed that chaos into beauty, that same Spirit now lives in us as children of God. It is the ministry of the Spirit, friends, the presence of God that dwells around us and in us. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring order out of chaos. Then and now. Ephesians 3:19 says that we have the potential to be filled with all the fullness of God. Now let the power of those words sink in. We have the potential to be filled with all the fullness of God. And by that power, when we open up our lives to God's presence, when we open up our hearts and our minds to that presence, to that the presence of the Spirit of God, when we experience the power, God is able to accomplish, Paul says, abundantly more than all we could ever ask or imagine. So when you find yourself in a place where you're feeling overwhelmed by the chaos, remember that you don't have to fight that chaos in your own strength. In fact, you can't do it alone. Remember, a closed system fills up with entropy. It's only when a system is open to energy from the outside that entropy can be put at bay. It's the same with our personal lives. And the good news here is that our lives are not closed systems. When we find ourselves in places where chaos is taking over, we stop, we say to ourselves, I know what's happening here. I've seen it before, and I'm going to establish boundaries, and I'm going to practice healthy habits. And I know where I'm going to get the strength to do that. It's the presence and power of God with me and in me. When my friend Will was first trying to lose all that weight, when it was really hard to move and hard to go to the gym, there was a powerful entropy in his life. And he chose a line from the movie Labyrinth, a powerful message he needed to remember. And that line was, you have no power over me. Again and again, he said that line to the chaos in his life. And he reached out to God for strength. And guess what? Chaos and entropy had to yield. We have a power in us God with us, the same power that changed primordial chaos is now at work within us and ready to give us the strength to repeat that pattern in our life. Healthy boundaries and healthy habits will do you not much good unless they're backed up with a mindset that says, I can do this because God is with me and will give me the strength. I can act on it. You can do far more than you ever thought you could through the power of God in your life. Last thing I'll say here. You have been put here on earth with a mission to carry forward God's work, to create beauty out of chaos. You are in partnership with God, if you will accept that. So when you face chaos in your life, when everything is crumbling down around you, I want you to stop and I want you to say to yourself, I know what this is. Tohu wabohu. I know who I am and I know what I'm supposed to do, what God did. So what area of your life do you need to tackle? Get after it. You can do this. You were made to do this. Thanks be to God. Amen.